Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
You like fantasy sports and sarcasm, then I shall not make your muscles start to spasm. They could even call some of you to orgasm. It's the Razzball Podcast. Well, you have several choices, only one joke in your arsenal for any of Moises. You might be yourself, just like your name was Moises. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast. It's the Razzball Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the Razzball Baseball Podcast. I am your host, Nick Capozzi, joined as always by the two guys bringing you great fantasy content on a daily basis at Razzball.com, your analysts, Rudy Gamble and Gray Albright. Gentlemen, how are you today?
Did you say anal cyst?
Didn't I say analyst?
Yeah, no, you did. Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, yeah, good hey, Freudian right. Slip there, Gray.
he's got jocular sphincteritis.
Is it okay if I do this podcast standing? I'm just saying.
Standing against the wall.
Well, gentlemen, we got a lot to cover baseball-wise today, but there's a couple of Razzball housekeeping notes that we'll let the audience in on. First off, of course...
I don't do Windows.
It's okay. Windex fixes everything. A couple things.
I don't clean towels, but because towels, you just get out of the shower and you naturally clean them when you dry yourself. And then someone stole that from me. I forget. There was like a TV show, Rules of Engagement, maybe? Is that New Girl? Yeah, New Girl stole that. Like within like 2 months.
Was that? Do you just came up with
fucking Jamie Kennedy's?
I guess it depends on how well you actually clean yourself while showering.
Yeah, I guess that's true. All right. Anyway, housekeeping.
So was that during your 90s? Your underground, when you were working on your stand-up comedy?
Right?
Towel! It washes me.
I got 15 minutes of towel cleaning.
I got 10 minutes of hand towels. You got 5 minutes of that thing that the shoe people.
All right. Come on, back to the housekeeping.
2 minutes of hand sanitizer. I don't know.
All right, back to the housekeeping. So, of course, you know, we're all listening here to the baseball advice that you guys are putting out. But if you are a multi-sport threat like myself and you do enjoy other sports, specifically fantasy football, you definitely want to click the fantasy football link at Razzball.com because Sky and all the writers over there are pumping out lots of great preseason content. Plus, they just launched today the Razzball Commentator League for fantasy football. So you definitely want to check that out. Gray, football is a sport with an oblong ball.
I know. Come on, don't be like that. It's F-U-T-B-O-L. I'm very aware.
Goal. You can't. So head on over there.
I used to be a huge Dan Marino fan, but once he retired, that's how far back I stopped watching football.
That was the end of the sport for you.
Yeah, no, it really was. Like, what was that? 93, 4? I haven't watched it since.
Oh, okay. You know, I'd say when he was in his prime in like 80, I think 84 was his biggest year. Right. But the early 90s, that was about when, you know, he was running like a 5-0, like 10-yard dash.
So great. Just to finalize, I just want to make sure I understand. Once the grease ball haired Italian in tight pants was out of the league, that was it for you for football. It turned you right off of it.
I still wear isotoners though.
And I say that as a grease haired. Oh man. as an Italian Canadian myself.
I'm half Sicilian. I'm with
which half?
The good half.
You're supposed to say the bottom half.
I'm a pizza bagel, Italian and Jewish.
So definitely head over to Razzball Football, Razzball Fantasy Football, and join an RCL league.
Breaking out all the 90s material.
I got pizza bagel.
Now, one more housekeeping note. Rudy, I think there was something that you wanted to discuss that is up and coming for Razzball Baseball, and I think you even wanted to tease it and give a little advantage to our podcast listeners.
Yeah, we're launching a page that will help in predicting which streamers to take. So for those streaming pitchers, I don't know what other type of streaming people do, but we're not covering that. It's up on.
we have a page dedicated to golden showers.
Yes. If you want a pitcher to pee on you, this is the pitcher you want.
Too bad Hideki Matsui isn't a pitcher.
Oh, man.
So it's at razzball.com/streamers. I'm writing a post on it that'll be up in the next, 5 days or so. It's a beta. I mean, when you're picking up streaming pitchers, you're kind of playing with fire.
You've had good success so far.
I know. I'm pissed. I was going to pick up Quintana today, and I held off.
You're pissed with the streamers.
Yeah, it's like even my natural reactions are punny. It's from too many of these roundups. I think this definitely helps. It's kind of one of those where it's like, look, I'm not going to condone streaming pitches. I'm not going to recommend it. But if you're going to do it, you should do it safe. Kind of like, having sex with NBA groupies. If this podcast was around 20 years ago, I don't know, maybe there'd be less theaters in urban areas.
Okay. So there's a lot to talk about today baseball-wise, including a lot of stuff because we're getting close to the trade deadline. We've already seen some trades go down that we're going to discuss today. But I wanted to start off because I have one regular emailer, which is actually interesting in itself because we don't have an email address for this podcast. But Alyssa from Los Angeles, a big Dodger fan, she was wondering, Rudy and Gray, when you guys are suffering from writer's block, what do you use as a slump buster?
I masturbate to a picture of Billy Butler's wife.
Rudy, do you have something to add to that?
No, I mean, I think that beats it. I actually have a picture of Billy Butler, and I like to finish on his moobs.
All right, so I guess we'll stick to baseball topics for today.
Actually, Wandy just got traded to the Pirates.
Really?
Yep, just now.
Breaking news. We need a...
Everyone must go from the Astros.
Breaking news. We interrupt this podcast. I'm like the guy from Police Academy with my sound effects.
Is there anyone left on the Astros now? That has more than 2 years experience. does Chris Johnson now sit in the? Does he get the corner locker and sits there with a pipe? Oh, Jose Altuve. Oh, I remember when I was that young.
the dog days. Yeah.
Well, there's actually a ton of talk going on in Toronto today that San Francisco is pushing hard to try and get Jose Bautista from the Jays. So that
the Jays trade him.
Well, I think not to talk real baseball because we prefer to enjoy our baseball in the fantasy world.
Good. It's some rumors, man. This is you're like the Canadian Peter Gammons.
So that'd make me Peter Gammons, eh?
Yeah.
No, I'm not hearing who would offer, but I was thinking, Bumgarner, Bautista, which team says no?
Yeah, Toronto.
Was that jerk off says what? and then
they tried to get Bautista a couple years ago, and before that, Alex Rios. So, anyway, but listen, I think if you look at the Blue Jays and how they're built, there's actually a lot more. The offense is so good, and there's so many position players who are young and just budding, and all this high-end pitching they have is down at single A, and there's a big gap between the single A starters and what's available now, especially with the rash of injuries. Yeah. So, you know, if you could get a Bumgardner to go with Morrow and Romero, you know, this team was always built to start contending in 2013, so...
You're like Bud Fox with the Blue Jays. It's like, what else you have besides Blue Star?
No, you mean he's the other guy. He's Gordon Gekko.
No, he's Bud Fox with Blue Star. I'm Gekko. I got the hair slicked back. Sorry.
I'd move a
32-year-old Bautista for a, you know, early 20s Madison Bumgarner. I'd do that.
Yeah, anyone would. Why would the Giants do it, though?
Well, their offense is so anemic.
Yeah, I know, but they're in a pitcher's park. I think that's the one thing that they actually have going.
And they've
got
to get rid of and they got to get rid of Lincecum.
Yeah,
Lincecum, maybe they move. If I'm in a pitcher's park, I build with pitching and just hope I win a lot of 3-2 games. Personally, I don't know. That's what I would do.
Yeah, but
I just want to see what they sign Melky to a big contract.
Well, and that's it. Melky Cabrera and Pablo Sandoval are your top hitters. I mean, that's how are you going to compete against the Texas Rangers in the playoffs? I mean, just
challenge them to like an eating contest.
Pitching, I don't know. Pitching in a short series usually wins out.
I don't know how that heroin wound up in the Texas Rangers locker room.
I mean, they did win it 2 years ago. So, you know, like the thing is, if Bautista is maybe 5 years older, I think Sabian would be interested.
Yeah, and they won it with Cody Ross. That was their big offensive star.
Yeah, he's hot again, man.
All right, so speaking trades, there was a couple trades that went down. The first one I'll go to is the one that obviously had the not necessarily the most fantasy value, but definitely got a lot of publicity, and that was Ichiro Suzuki getting traded to the New York Yankees. So I'm just curious, gentlemen, I'll start with you, Mr. Albright. What do you think Ichiro is going to do in that lineup?
I don't think he's going to do much more than he's been doing. He's just overhyped. If he went by the name of, say, Michael Brantley and so to avoid confusion, Michael Brantley went by a different name, then I think Ichiro, no one would even pay attention to this trade.
Pay attention to a Michael Brantley who looked like that. I was like, when do they start naming Japanese people that kind of name? No, unless his name was Michael, Brant was his middle name and last name Lee. Then I'd understand it. But well, I'd be like, oh.
He'd probably be Korean or Chinese then, as opposed to Japanese.
Yeah, perhaps, but that I could overlook. I'd be like, maybe his parents moved from Korea to Japan. He might have worked in the electronics field and wanted to, you know, back in the heydays of the 80s before everything got farmed out. That I'd get.
The gung-ho days.
Brantley? Explain to Brantley in Japan. That's all right. Great.
Well, you Darvish is half Persian. There you go.
Is he?
His father's from Iran. No, really. His father's from Iran. His mother's Japanese. Darvish is...
You don't say. Yeah, no, I had no idea about that.
And that ends our cultural segment.
Yeah. We're about as cultured as yogurt. And I think the Ichiro trade's a nothing for fantasy, really. I mean, he might get some more RBIs because now he's in the bottom of the lineup rather than the top, but then he's going to lose runs.
There's actually people on base.
Yeah.
So that helps with RBIs.
Right, and there's also the fact he's in the bottom of the lineup now. I don't think the park's really going to make much of a difference. Maybe he's got 5 homers on the year. Maybe he gets another 5 in, you know, less than a half a year. He's not. I don't think he's much of anything, really.
Okay.
Yeah,
interesting.
I don't know. I feel I wouldn't trade big for him, but you just wonder, I mean, like guys like that toward the twilight of the career playing for a new contract, it wouldn't shock me to see him actually go like 330. And, you know, it would shock me if he hit more than like 5 homers. But I could imagine him turning it on. I mean, when I think back to guys like Will Clark and Don Mattingly, who's last, and Larry Walker, I think it was similar cases where they looked like they were toast and had a good stretch run. I think if anyone signs him to a big contract next year, I think they're nuts.
Oh, of course.
But like I said, it could be an interesting buy low.
I think what's interesting is now that he's playing in New York, we'll probably see a lot of those Japanese advertisement banners for Japanese massage parlors.
You're kidding. I know you're joking, but I've gone to games at Yankee Stadium when Matsui was there, and there was like ads in Japanese on like the...
Oh, I'm serious. No, I'd wager on that.
That was for a massage parlor?
Yeah, gentleman's spa. Because the website was there. I said, I have to check that link out. And that's what it was. It was a chain of gentlemen's spas.
Well, actually, the target, I don't think, was like Japanese people tuning into the game. I think it was for Hideki Matsui. Like, who's our target audience? Hideki Matsui.
He's got some money.
Whiskey. All right, Rudy, I want to talk about another trade, and I want to start with you because Gray, can only look at Annabelle through rose-colored glasses. What do you think happens to Mr. Sanchez now that he is a Detroit Tiger?
You know, I generally like when pitchers change leagues because I feel like the hitters don't have as much familiarity with them. Going NL to AL is not a great move. I think Annabelle will just be mediocre. I think he'll have like a 3.5 to 4 ERA, he'll have a decent K rate. I don't expect him to be Doug Fister of 2011 and have a great stretch run. But I think he's like, more or less his value stays neutral. He'll lose a little in ERA whip, but he'll win a couple more games.
And what about you, Gray? What about your man crush?
Actually, that's over. We're through now. Yep. I think his value gets really hurt with this trade. His American League ERA through about 75 innings was +5+. This year in June, if you remember, he had a terrible June. That was because of Interleague. He's been crushed every time he's gone against American League team. So I don't know. I'm really worried about him. He's now, I'd say, a fantasy 3 to a 4-5 with, and he's also has to be sat for some matchups. Like I think he's going against the Blue Jays this Saturday. I wouldn't start him there.
Right.
I'm going to bench him. See what he does. I'm not flat out dropping him yet, but he's not exactly in my good graces right now.
Okay. On the subject of trade talk, because again, the deadline is next week on the 31st, so this will be an ongoing discussion over the next week. But a couple names that are popping up a lot in rumors. I mean, I know the Marlins have basically said they're sellers. A lot of talk about Hanley Ramirez, Josh Johnson, and although it's probably unlikely he'll get traded, Justin Upton's name has been bandied about right now, but also in the preseason. Do you think any of those three guys gets moved, Rudy?
Say those three again.
Hanley, Josh Johnson, and Jay Up.
I don't think Justin Upton. I really don't know what Aaron is thinking on that. It really seems like some rather. So I don't see him going anywhere. Josh Johnson, he had a great last start and he kind of left with, was it a bad finger or?
A blister, yeah.
Okay. I'd be surprised if they got rid of Josh Johnson. Hanley, yeah, I could see him going. I think they've had enough of him. They already have a shortstop, so his value's less. And yeah, I think the fan base and the ownership are kind of sick of Hanley Ramirez. So the right offer, I think he's gone.
Okay. What about you, Green?
I think the ownership should be put in front of a firing squad. So that's what I think. I mean, he ruined the Expos, right? He destroyed them.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, and what's he? Marlins. I mean, they're sellers now. Weren't they just buyers like 3 months ago? And they got a new stadium paid for by the city. I don't know. He seems like the biggest douchebag. I read yesterday looking up for the roundup. I Googled him and I saw an article, and it was about how when he was at spring training, a Marlins fan came up to him. And he corrected the fans' grammar.
Was that the owner or the president of the?
No,
team?
That was the owner. That was Loria. The president of the team actually said Miami was stupid, and their fans were dumb. After the stadium was bought by the city. And they're just a bunch of they're pieces of shit. Right,
but isn't that more proof though?
It's also his young
just kind of something. Suckers.
Isn't that his kid too, the president?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, I think his kid is like high up in the food chain over there. But yeah, I think Hanley could get traded for sure. I think I don't know. I mean, I feel like he. You know, he plays when he wants to play. He has, like, the Manny Ramirez disease. So if he goes somewhere and he gets, you know, the spark in him to play hard, then he could be huge on a contending team. And Josh Johnson, I don't know. Josh Johnson, I don't really – honestly, I'm not really positive on his contract. Is he a free agent, free agent?
He's got 1 year left after this one.
He's got 1 year? Yeah, I mean, maybe I don't see why they would trade Josh Johnson unless they got a great deal. Then again, they traded Annabelle and Omar Infante for, you know, a guy who looked hideous in the major leagues. But he's still a good prospect. I'll give him that. He's very young. He's like 21. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I could see them trading off everyone, I guess, except for Jose Reyes, who they're bound to with his contract.
That's what you get for signing with Miami.
You don't think bound to Heath Bell's contract? It might be, we'll trade you Hanley Ramirez.
And they throw in Heath Bell.
And then for what? No, right. As long as you take both.
Yeah, no, it could be.
Well, right. They're actually talking. Hanley, I think, has got almost $40 million left on his contract that the Marlins would actually have to eat a good chunk of that to get him moved. So
maybe he can get the fans to pay for it.
So speaking of prospects, now, you know, obviously, you know, a lot of people are still in contention. There's a lot of baseball left. But for those of us, I shouldn't say those of us, the people out there that have not had as good a season, especially in kind of longer term leagues. You know, now it's the time of year when we tend to see a lot of prospects that come up. And it was interesting because I believe, don't quote me on this, but I believe Dave Dombrowski, the GM of the Tigers, said that Nick Castellanos is very close to being ready, at least his bat is. And because he's blocked by Cabrera at third, he'll probably play in the outfield when he does come up. But I'm just curious. I'll just throw a couple names. You don't have to answer on all of them, but Nick Castellanos, Will Myers, Mike Ault, Billy Hamilton. You see any of those guys getting called up this year? Gray?
Technically. I think Billy Hamilton will be a pinch runner in September. I don't think there's any way Dusty's going to play him in a full-time position unless there's an injury. I think Ault will be a pinch hitter. Will Myers, probably, he could actually come up in the next week if Frenchie or someone else is traded from the Royals. Right. We could see him very soon.
Or in the spare chance that Lorenzo Cain gets hurt again.
Yeah, right. There's always that. And then Castellanos, I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, I don't see why the Tigers are going to him right now. Well, they have Quentin Berry, they have Delman, they have Bausch, who's actually starting to hit. I don't see why they're going to him, but maybe.
Well, for Castellanos, they'd have to get. I mean, they'd have to put him at DH or Cabrera at DH. I don't think Miguel Cabrera wants to be a DH. So, you know, I think it'd be. I could see him doing it. I mean, Detroit does make kind of bold moves, but I feel like they're wedded, you know, to someone like a Delman Young in DH. So, you know, having if he, I would imagine he comes up in September 1, just like you're saying with Michael. He might come up September 1, but if he plays 3 days a week, what are you going to do with him?
Right.
Right. These are more for like dynasty leagues. If you're
that's what I'm talking about.
If you're playing for next year, then I would own all of them right now because any of them could be full time players next year, especially Billy Hamilton, just because of the way speed translates so easily to the major leagues.
Okay, Rudy, pick one for next year, Rudy. Would you rather have, assuming, let's just say, just for argument's sake, they're both starters and play 162 games next year, would you rather have Billy Hamilton or Will Myers, Rudy?
Oh, man, I had Billy Hamilton over all versus Will Myers. I'm still going Billy Hamilton.
What about you, Gray?
I could build around that.
Yeah, Billy Hamilton's a guy who could steal 45 bases.
Man, he could steal 80 bases.
I'm saying probably Dusty's not going to play him every day.
Right.
So you're going to get like a Tony Campana type player. But I would Billy Hamilton, I think.
Well, he's
the kind of guy you take a flyer on and you buy for a dollar right now. And if you can keep him next year for a dollar, you do it and you hope that somehow, you know, Cozart gets hurt or something happens where he gets a full-time job.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So the Oakland A's have been a real surprise lately. They're playing really well, and part of it has been Cespedes, who I think it's fair to say has exceeded expectations, particularly in batting average. I actually think he might be over 300 right now.
He's close to it.
Rudy, if you're drafting today, where do you draft Cespedes?
You know, the fact he went on the DL twice definitely scares me. I think his average is a bit inflated. My view on him hasn't actually changed since the preseason. I think third outfielder, like 10th or 12th round.
Right.
So I think about where I think we targeted like Alex Rios this year.
Okay. What about you, Gray?
Yeah, I agree completely. He's a third outfielder around 100 to 110, 120th overall kind of area.
Okay. So speaking about where you draft someone next year, Buster Posey has had a great season coming back from the injury. Where do you take Buster Posey next year, Rudy?
Well, I've sworn off catchers in early rounds. I mean, I think it's fair to say I think he's right now the number one catcher off the board next year.
Right.
This year, I mean, I have him third on the player rater after Ruiz and Molina, but Posey's much more definitely the most likely to repeat the performance versus those other two, and it's younger. I usually have the first catcher on the board with his skill set. I think he should be gone in like the fourth or fifth round. It just depends on the league you're in, because there's some people that if you're in a two catcher league, there's always someone who thinks they've invented the catchers are so valuable, and they draft catchers in the second and third round.
Right.
And then they have Carlos Santana this year and kind of not doing so well.
What about you, Gray?
I think Posey is definitely the number one catcher. He Wieters and Santana, I feel like, could vie for that title at any moment, with Wieters number two and Santana more of a distant third because of his average concerns. But I think, I think any of those guys could have a 14 homer type half a season and get you near, you know, over 25 homers on the year and decent counting stats.
Right. Okay. Sounds good. Now, I know we've spent a lot of time on the podcast this season complaining about Ryan Zimmerman and his production, but right now he's as hot as anybody in baseball.
Gray's complaining about that because he dropped him.
I think he's like an old man.
My soup's too hot. My soup's too cold.
I need a partner up in this balcony on the Muppet Show.
But if I'm not mistaken, like in the last 3 weeks, Ryan Zimmerman has 9 home runs or something like that.
Oh my God, he's hitting like near 280. I dropped him like 2 weeks ago. He had like 5 homers and he was batting 230.
Right.
I mean, it's just insane. If I would have known, I would have dropped him back in March and then used the number one waiver claim and just picked him back up.
Couldn't give me a heads up that you were dropping him. I got Longoria on the DL for 4 months.
We play fair here at Erasball.
What are the odds of him keeping it up, Rudy?
I wouldn't expect him to stay that hot too much longer. But I mean, when healthy and you know on rhythm, he's a 25 homer guy, 25 homer, 100 RBI guy. It just for whatever reason, the injuries and whatnot, he just hasn't shown that in the last recently. So. Yeah, I could see him as a top 5 third baseman rest of the year. I'd probably bank on him being maybe top 6 to in the 6 to 10 range.
Okay. Another guy we talked a lot about this year was Edwin Encarnacion for obvious reasons, but I think a lot of people have missed that Jason Kubel is putting up similar numbers with zero publicity. Positions aside, which bat would you rather have rest of the season, Encarnacion or Jason Kubel?
What do you think, Gray?
I go Edwin. Position aside, I don't know. It's pretty close, but I'd still go with Edwin. I think Kubel. Yeah, I mean, he's coming off of a great hot streak. Did you actually? I don't know. Do they have a Canadian version of USA Today, Nick?
No. Okay. But we do have USA Today up here.
Oh, really? You must be like a trader reading that. No, but anyway, I don't know. Since I stopped reading that for baseball, like the top, you know, remember they had like top tens for different stats?
Yeah.
You don't really see that anymore for like outside of newspapers.
Yeah, you're
anyway,
right.
Anyway, Kubel is leading the NL in RBIs.
That's I'm saying.
Nuts. I wouldn't have guessed that.
Right? Isn't that crazy? Like, and we live and breathe baseball for 6 months. I had no idea who was leading the NL in RBIs.
Doesn't help me one bit.
It doesn't mean anything. But I'm just saying, it's kind of weird that we had no idea. Yeah, Edwin. I'd take Edwin over Kubel, but yeah. It's close.
All right, interesting. A couple last questions before we wrap up, guys. How do you evaluate a player who plays like a lunatic? And I'll use Brett Laurie as the example. What percentage, if any, do you devalue someone who plays balls to the wall like that? I mean, do you put them in the same category as a Ryan Zimmerman? Zimmerman has a longer track record of injuries. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, how do you deal with someone like that, Rudy?
You mean a sparky ankle biter type?
Yeah, I mean,
but with power.
But he's a sparky ankle biter slash lunatic. I mean, did you see the dive he took into the TV pit the other day?
No.
Oh, Google that.
Yeah. Red Bull does not give you wings.
My feeling is that, you know, if he plays 130, 140 games but plays at that level, it's going to generally behoove your team. You could always survive, you know, a little DL stint.
I'm worried about a broken leg.
I know
Nick's really concerned. That's the Blue Jays' future. he's concerned. I think I don't know. I feel like you're getting some days you'll get a guy who you know runs into a wall and he's out 2 days, but he might come back on the third day where someone who isn't as much of a lunatic will sit out for a week. You know, right. So it's like it's six of one, half a dozen of another.
That's a good way of looking at it.
I agree with Rudy. It behooves you in the long run to have someone like Lowry.
Right. Okay, cool. Jesus Montero has been hitting really well. In fact, I think the last 2 days he's been one hit short of the cycle. But the original question here was, which overhyped prospect would you rather bring into 2013? Would you rather have Jesus Montero or Desmond Jennings, who's been a little bit of a letdown compared to where we thought he might be?
You throwing these
things? Oh, sorry.
What are we?
Gray.
What happened?
Sorry, Gray. Jesus Montero, Desmond Jennings next year.
I'll go with Jennings, but just because of the fact that Montero is a catcher.
Dude, they're talking about bringing the fences in at Safeco, eh?
they should, eh?
Sorry. They're talking about bringing in the fences at Safeco, period, end of sentence.
No, I think it's a tough call. I mean, the fact that Montero has the catcher eligibility going to next season, who knows how much he catches. We won't be drafting him because he'll be going too high. We actually got him in a few drafts this year, mainly because just the gamble that he was going to get catcher eligibility sooner versus later.
Right.
He still hasn't panned out, even though we felt like we got a discount on it. Presumably I have like the 80th pick and both are available. I think I gamble on Montero. I'm still not sold on Jennings. Is he going to steal 40 bases or hit 20 homers? I don't know.
Right.
I could always stack up on outfielders. So I still think Montero's got a 300 average in him and 20 homers.
All right. No, it's listen.
And 40 RBIs because the rest of that offense sucks. Although they did send down Justin Smoke. You heard that?
Oh, yeah. What a disaster.
Yeah, I thought they'd put him on the disgraceful list, but they just sent him to AAA.
Unbelievable.
To bring up the carp. Fish power.
He needs to get traded to a better park. Or the Safeco's bringing in the fences, I hear, eh?
You know, yeah. I think they should trade him to Colorado. Helton's like 100.
Helton is done.
Yeah, give Smoke, you know, just it's like kind of like having like a city dog who only has like a couple months left. Send him out to the farm. Let him run around. Let Justin Smoke hit some long home runs.
Hey, I was going to wrap up, but one more quick question, only because I just got a text from Alyssa from L.A. How did she get my number?
Is that the question? I don't know, Nick. Probably because you talk about her a lot.
No, she's just wondering, what are the chances Cole Hamill gets traded, and would it be to the Dodgers?
No. I don't think he gets traded.
You think he's going to re-sign with Philly?
I think so, yeah.
But they're going to be such a mess surprised. Going forward. They're in trouble.
They definitely are. But I think they re-sign him and they try and like piece together their team. I don't think they sell off him. Then they're suddenly what are they left with?
Oh, but they have to go into a full rebuild. They're really a mess on the farm systems.
Yeah. I don't know if they're ready for a free. I don't know. I don't think their team is ready for a full rebuild at this point.
Oh, I do.
I think the tough thing is like, who owns the Philadelphia Phillies? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, Philadelphia cream cheese.
I don't know, but I guess I wouldn't be surprised if it was Comcast.
Right. So I think that is that. I mean, Ruben Amaro Jr. Seems to just. Is he a junior? It just sounds like it should be Ruben Amaro Jr. I'm not sure it is, but I think it is. I mean, he signed so many kind of big contracts. I mean, they had at least some discipline to let Worth go and get overpaid by someone. But the Howard deal, the Halliday deal was an awesome deal. But the Cliff Lee one looked a little bit reckless.
Yeah.
I think my concern would be that whoever owns the Phillies basically, you know, gets scared straight by this year and says, you're not signing another player to like a $100+ million deal unless you can get rid of one. And at this point, I don't see anyone who's going to want to take on Cliff Lee's contract. No one's going to take Ryan Howard's contract.
Jimmy Rollins is old and breaking down. Chase Utley's old and breaking down. They're probably going to. Yeah. Victorino's a free agent.
It's going to be so.
Papelbon's contract.
DuPont owns the Phillies. I just looked it up.
DuPont?
Yeah. Well, the guy, the owner. Yeah, the guy who is in charge of DuPont.
They haven't been moved to Delaware.
Stainmaster. So again, don't forget to check out rasball.com.
Chase Utley's nickname.
/streamers. Well, hey, you want to talk about slump busters?
Yeah, there you go.
All right. So listen, thanks for another great podcast. And don't forget, lots going on. Don't miss next week because with the trade deadline, there'll be lots to chat about, I'm sure. And don't forget, check out razzball.com/streamers for all your pitcher streaming needs. And also, head over to the Fantasy Football. We're going to do a lot of good stuff over there this year, too. Rudy, Gray, gentlemen, as always, thanks for
Nick,
time.
Later.
Thanks to executive producer Scott Brown and the staff at Glenmore Records. If you ever need great recording studios in the city of Toronto, visit glenmorerecords.com. And a special thank you to Symphony of Nine for the greatest podcast intro song ever.
It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast. It's a Razzball Podcast.